Please turn with me to the Gospel according to John, chapter 12. Scripture reading is from John, chapter 12, the verses 27 through 36. Verse 27 through 36. And then we read God's holy word. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it, and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. So far the reading of the Word of God. Beloved congregation, we continue our study of John 12 and want to pay attention to verse 28, where we read a text of this post-communion sermon, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. We continue our study under the theme, the glory of the cross. This morning we paid attention to Jesus' trouble and to his supplication. And now we will continue to study his supplication and also pay attention to the Father's answer. The Lord Jesus continues his supplication and comes to a conclusion. Through his struggle, he may clearly see for what purpose he has come to the hour of deep suffering. He has no other desire than to do the will of his Father, which leads him to another prayer. Father, glorify thy name. Only when the name of his Father is glorified, sinners will be saved. He clearly sees that bearing the wrath of God over sin will not only save his people, but will also glorify his Father's name. And that is the chief end and object of his life and death. That will be the glory of the cross. The name of God will be praised again. But what does it mean that God's name will be glorified? Well, it means that his attributes will be magnified. God's name and his attributes are inseparably connected. Actually, his name expresses his being. And his attributes tell us who God is in his being. His attributes, also called his perfections, are his character traits. When Jesus prays to his Father to glorify his own name, he fully surrenders to his Father's will. And his passion serves namely this goal, that Jehovah's name will be glorified. That is the glory of the cross, the blessedness of his sacrifice on the cross. And on the cross we see all God's attributes in their riches and brightness. How will his perfection be praised on the cross? Well, there he will redeem his people. And to that end, he needs to die. He must fulfill the law. And what can we perceive of God's attributes at Golgotha? Well, we can see the beam of God's justice shining from the cross. The wounds of the Lord Jesus glorify God's justice shining. He was made sin, and therefore he must shed his blood. He must give his life. According to God's holy justice, the one who has sinned is cursed and must die the cursed death. And he, as the great substitute, satisfies God's justice. And at the same time, we behold God's infinite wisdom, another attribute of God. Who of us would have conceived this one and only way of redemption for lost sinners? God gave his own Son to be the sacrifice for sin, so that all those who believe in him will be justified. The cross also glorifies God's eternal, boundless, and free love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And what about God's truth? It is also glorified in the cross, since all that occurs during Jesus' suffering and death was according to the Scriptures. God manifested his truth when his Son was crucified onto the cross. The cross also displays his grace abundantly. God wants to punish his Son rather than his people who have turned their back on him. God hid his face from his Son in order to show his friendly face to those who by nature rebel against him. And what about his compassion and mercy? In the atonement of his Son, all divine attributes are perfectly glorified. And that is what the Son is praying for. Father, glorify thy name. This he craves while his soul is troubled. As it were, he leaves the glory of his name to the care of his Father. He may do what he considers to be best. And he is willing to bear the cursed cross in order to glorify God's attributes. And is not this the desire that the exalted Christ works in our hearts of his people by the power of his Spirit? What? That his name will be glorified. After regeneration, he works the desire in us to meet the purpose to which the Lord has created us. What is the purpose of our life? The first question of the Westminster Shorter Catechism so aptly answers it. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. He is so worthy to be honored and praised for who he is and for what he has done and still does. And when the Spirit nourishes us with heavenly blessings, when he renews our sight of Christ, then you desire that his name gets honored and glorified. You sing along with Psalm 115, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake." And after having tasted the goodness of the Lord at his table, you humbly thank the Lord, and the confession lives in your heart and comes over your lips. The Lord is so undeservedly good. He is so great. He's majestic in all his ways. And you want to sing along with David, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength." Your desires focus on Him. You love all that is related to His service. You love His word, His day, His people, His laws. And you long to hear His word. You desire to be fed with spiritual food. All of life comes under the direct government of His will. All of life is His. And the Holy Spirit teaches you to write on all of life, holiness to the Lord. You desire to set all of life apart for the Lord and His service. Your energy, your time, your money. You desire the Lord to tell you what to do with all the blessings you receive. As long as His name is glorified. And you increasingly are concerned about your inner motives. What is my desire? Is my aim of life focused on the glorification of His attributes, or do I seek to serve myself? And it troubles you when you discover that you are still so selfish and inclined to all evil, while the Lord is worthy to be honored with all of life. What is the service of the Lord worth to you? Maybe your health will be taken away. Will you pray, Father, glorify Thy name by my sickness? Or if certain prospects are cut off from us, then do we pray, Father, glorify Thy name through my disappointments? Blessed are you if you learn to pray contrary to your temporal desires and seek to be content with the Lord and His grace. Then we want to die to self and cast off our pride. We pray to be delivered from the world's temptations and to be filled with His love. Then you will lack nothing. Then there is no reason for despondency amidst life's difficulties. All we meet with in this lifetime will only be for our good and to His honor. We are unable in and of ourselves to glorify God by our actions. But the Lord Jesus did so vicariously for us. And now by His Spirit He works that out in our lives, so that we will experience that the glorification of His name goes together with self-humiliation. And we need grace for that. Grace which the Lord grants freely. But what happens after the Lord Jesus made His supplication to His Father? Our last thought. He hears a voice from heaven. Not only He, but all those who are with Him as well. The people, says verse 29, they are the multitude who stood near. Not all of them heard or understood the words correctly. Some said that they heard thunder. Others said an angel spoke to Jesus. But Jesus, and I believe also His disciples, heard a clear voice from heaven, namely the voice of God. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. God the Father says that He has glorified His own name, and that He will glorify it again. God hears the voice of His Son and answers Him. The Father and the Son are one in their will and aim. And this is not the first time God answers His Son with an audible voice. Two other incidents are recorded in the Gospels, which both emphasize the purpose for which Christ has come into this world. The first time was at His baptism, And the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit came down in the appearance of a dove. And then a voice from heaven spoke, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And the second time was at his transfiguration, when Moses and Elijah appeared on the Mount Tabor, and Peter, James, and John heard a voice from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And the voice from heaven now says something different. Though we can state that the content also comprises the Father's approval of his Son's work, just like the other two times. The Father says that he has glorified his name. When was that? Well, we can think of the very beginning of the Son's work on earth, when he descended from heaven and entered the womb of Mary. What is Mary's response when she met with Elizabeth? "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." And at the time the Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem, an angel announces Christ's birth to the shepherds abiding in the fields. And then suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." God's name was glorified. The Father was not only glorified by these special events. We could say that during Christ's entire life on earth, he glorified his Father. All he preached about and all the miracles he performed were a manifestation of glory due to the Father. It should be noted that the glory of the Father and the glory of the Son are inseparable. Jesus says in John 13, verse 32, that God is glorified in his Son. He will also be glorified in the future. We read further in verse 28, "and will glorify it again." That means God the Father guarantees his Son that he will continue to glorify his name through his Son. How? Well, when the Son will continue his work of redemption in heaven. The Lord Jesus is given a perspective beyond his suffering and death. The grain of wheat will not only be sown in the ground and die, it will also bear much fruit. Jesus Christ will rise from the dead. He will triumph over Satan, sin, and death. And here the Father assures him of his exaltation. He will ascend into heaven and enter everlasting praise and glory. And there, at the right hand of the Father, the name of God will be glorified. How? By Christ applying his work of redemption to the hearts of many. Right now, Jesus Christ is glorifying the name of the Father, since he's the great high priest making intercession for his church day and night. And he prays that his church be preserved and extended. And he shows his scars to his Father. He has redeemed his people for the honor and glory of his name. And he prays for his church. John 17, 24, "Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." He has ascended into heaven in order to apply his redemptive work to lost sinners. And by the preaching of the gospel, and by the applicatory work of the Holy Spirit, he calls sinners out of darkness into his marvelous light. And any sinner who repents from sin to God thereby glorifies his attributes and is fruit of Christ's work of redemption. There is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. Joy, since God's attributes are glorified every time Christ's blood is applied. And when he molds and shapes his people into his image by the sanctifying work of his Spirit, God's attributes are glorified. God will continue this work as long as the sun and moon endure. And on the day of days, when Jesus Christ comes again in the clouds, Christ's work will be brought in full completion. And then all mankind will praise him. And then every knee shall bow to him, and every tongue shall confess God. And then all God's attributes will be glorified in full, both by God's people, but also by his enemies, to their dismay. What a blessed answer to Jesus' prayer. He may believe that the Father is glorified and will be glorified if he continues the way of the cross. The cross seems to be the opposite of glory. But he clearly sees and believes that his Father will be glorified by the cross. And therefore we read in John 13 that Jesus could speak about glory after Judas left the room, fulfilling his devilish plan. Because the way of the cross is also the way of glory. In verse 31 of that same chapter, Jesus says, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him." Jesus believes that his Father will fulfill his own word. After all, he is the faithful Father who will not disappoint his Son who trusts his word. The Father answered his Son's prayer. And by this we have a clear testimony of the Father that Christ is a perfect Savior. As it were, we hear the echo of the other two voices which came from heaven. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And in this clear testimony from heaven about Christ, if this clear testimony from heaven about Christ does not break our heart, then what else can? We need to know him as our surety and Savior. Will you not pray, "My chief end is to glorify thee, and there's nothing better. Glorify thy name in and through thy Son." Oh, we are such a poor worshippers. We so easily put our carnal desires front and center. And by nature we do not glorify his name, but blaspheme him by our sins. And therefore we should not pray that God will help us to glorify his name. There's nothing in us that can glorify his name except what he has first given. How can we glorify God? Not with some help from God, but by God himself. It is his work and his work alone. And we can only be saved by the one name given under heaven and among men. It is the glorious name by which all God's attributes are glorified, namely the name Jesus Christ. You are so poor if you don't know him by a true faith. If you try to keep yourself going by some pious behavior or by trusting some religious feelings, he that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son of God has not life. Apart from him, you will be consumed under the wrath of God, since you do not believe in his Son. And yet, God has no pleasure in your death. Also this evening you hear the preaching of the cross. Oh, let Christ be sufficient for you, child of God. Do not try to improve your life by some good intentions, because you will fail. Do not live one single day without taking refuge to the cross on Golgotha. Only there God's attributes are glorified. Christ has glorified his Father, and his Father has glorified his Son. The Father is satisfied with his Son, then be satisfied with him as well. A daily humbling lesson, and yet so blessed exercise, since that is to his honor and glory. And the day will come soon that you will be delivered from all that hinders you to glorify God. What a day shall that be, when God shall be all in all, and he will receive all honor and glory. Amen.